has your the people that you've been answerable to, how has that changed over the years since you started in the 1940s?
Well, since then I had the RSPB plus the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Naturalist Trust, who were overall overseeing the looking after the birds, because there was a 47 Act and various acts looking after the birds, always has been. And of course it was limited in its powers, but all the way through there were these two societies. Well then, 15 years ago, English Nature, or Nature Conservancy Council as it was called then, came here, and they took over the authority of all of it with the Bewley Estate. That's our area, and extended areas along at Calshot and various others, and so they are in control, operating the law as written by Parliament. And I only act under their auspices, whatever they decide, or we decide at meetings, that's how it's operated, yeah.
And when you were made warden, you were the sole warden, were you? Was
it? Yeah, individually, initially, yeah. Then there became a Mr. Pullen, an old chappie who lived on, or near Bewley Estate, not on it, but he was Hampshire and Isle of Wight Naturalist Trust. And so he was the overseer of all this. And any problems, I would ring him, whatever. But he was quite an old chap. And I would pick him up in my boat and take him out to the sanctuary, and we would do counts and things. And basically, there have been a lot of helpers in this.
So how would you define your job when you first started? What was your job?
Well, I was just a warden, an honorary warden, or a, well, it was a, yeah, honorary and voluntary, both unpaid. Yeah.
Unpaid?
I've never been paid, only since English Nature here. I had an annuity of £200 as an honorary warden. It was called an honorarium. Initially it was £100 for the first year, and then it became £200, and it remained £200 until the year before last. But prior to that, the RSPB, in conjunction with Hampshire and Isle of Wight Naturalist Trust, gave me, I believe it was 8 weeks at £10 a week, or 10 weeks at £8. Something, I can't remember exactly, unless I look at the books, because I have a book for every year, I keep a complete record. And so that was to assist in my petrol expenses. But basically, funds for that for a long time with nothing. I didn't have any funds. I did it off my own bat. But then I started to market the eggs because there was a demand for them, for food only. And that was my remuneration to pay for my boats, because I have three, if not four, of my own boats. I've used my cabin cruiser, 26 foot. I used to use that to take people out and take various societies out, Americans and bird watchers and things. But not for money, just that was part of being a warden, I suppose. It's a good life, really.
So how would you describe your job? What would you say your job activities involved when you started?
Initially, wardening was a fight, more than anything. I said, for fight to have the locals I went to school with. I've had three people at a time.
Fighting them?
Attacking me, yeah, over taking the eggs, yeah. But I was quite an active person. I don't think I want to fight anyone now, but it's not necessary now anyway. But it was then, because they would come and threaten me. And it was a question of who's the strongest, and I was always very quick, always able to defend myself then. But some of them I've become permanent friends with, actually, after hitting them even, yeah. Oh, they hit me once or twice. I've even been held in a local pub and my face smashed in, yeah, by some local rogues who I've caught, yeah, yeah.
You've caught?
But I've still managed to inflict more injuries on them than me. Yeah, being held, hitting by one, cut my eye, and I kicked him somewhere that he'd remember for the rest of his life, and I got the other two with one fist, one on the other. But they were holding me backwards, really. Unwarranted and without warning, they did this in the local pub.
Over that, they wanted to take the eggs?
Yeah, taken back at me, because I'd caught them previously on there.
And they
were trying to get back at me, you think.
Would that have been for food or to sell?
With them, I don't, it could have been food or sell. So, well, you see, we did have people who would take them and sell them in Lymington, because the Lymington people and Pywell people sold their eggs in Lymington. Mine have always gone to London. But these people would, if they could get a few dozen and take them into various shops in Lymington or Brockenhurst, they could get a few quid, you see. But it was against the law, because I had notices. We've always had notices up there. It's illegal to land or whatever, the notices said. It had used to have Bewley Manor Bird Sanctuary, then it became English Nature Bird Sanctuary. But it said no landing by order, by law. It was illegal to land there. But these people would land in the night, but I would know. They would steal a boat or borrow a boat locally and get there. but I would catch them. And oh yeah, and I've had some, initially I had some awful fights, really dear, and I'm not proud of that, but I had no chance. Yeah, and it was either them or me. And in the early morning, in the dark, it's not a friendly thing, is it? But I've done it. I don't want to do that now, when in fact the law is rather concise now, and so it's very likely that it won't happen again. Only the egg collector would want a particular egg of a particular species. These are the people we're really after now. The yachts people have got the message, I think. It's been well publicised. We've had various films. So I think there isn't such a big problem there. One of the problems is the windsurfer, or the person whose engine breaks down, who lands, which I did have one year, chap, and he walked right through a sandwich turn colony to go and ring and get help where their engine had broken down. I got out there before he came back. And really, the authorities should have prosecuted him, but they didn't. In this instance, his engine had broken down, and I got him towed away. But it was crazy to walk where it said, notice, no landing. If he'd have walked below high water mark, you see, it wouldn't have mattered, but he walked right through a colony. Incredible, isn't it? But so that, I mean, the real thing about warning is watching. It is, being observant, and I've got relatives here who help, and we have other people who would, people in the cottage that needs oil would ring and say, Joe, there's someone so-and-so. I said, thanks, lovely, I can see them, I'm just watching them. You know, there's a nice little spirit around that the local people become interested and they are acting. And we do have voluntary wardens who have come at weekends, which gives me a breather. And the chappie who, I'll show you later, painted a picture there, was one of them. Unfortunately, he's dead, died last year. But really, we had quite a few volunteers. We've still got a few nice people who come at weekends, and it means that sometimes I can relax and say, go and dig my garden or plant something or do something. Yeah. So not a bad life, dear, really.
So, if you only really paid an honorarium, how did you survive on the monkeys?
Well, the eggs, but also, most of my life I fished, and I have been, I've done lots of, I have worked winters for money, for wages, yeah, on construction. I'm quite a capable person on machinery or in construction, yeah. I helped Marchwood Power Station in Fawley. I built the big pumps for Mather and Platt, the cooling pumps for the Fawley Power Station. Only in the winters, 3 or 4 months in the winter. Great jobs, you know. I've always been able to make enough and catch enough to survive.
So you didn't get this house as part of the job?
No, I paid rent for this, yeah. And my store, I pay rent, my garage and rent, you know. My garage is full of boat equipment and gear which I use on the sanctuary, but, you know, it belongs to the estate, but I don't mind. I look after it. I've rewired it and spent money on it, but it's nice to have it, to be able to keep my gear in, because it's impossible to leave gear out on the beach anymore. I've lost nets. There are nets under there. I make my own nets and things, but, you know, I catch fish. I can catch enough to live any day, yeah. Any day. So if I'm hungry, I know what to get. Without abusing anyone or anything, I don't have to do that, no.
So how do you think your job as a warden has changed from when you took it on in the 1940s?
Well, in the 40s, it was a game of devil take the hindmost. You know, you had to be tough and you had to be... really angry at times with people. Idiots. Utter idiots. Standing by a notice board, running your dogs on there when it said no landing by order and so forth. We have people like that. People who, well-educated people who ought to have known better. Really, sometimes it's astounding the stupid things that adult people can do against what they know is correct, you know, whatever the sign would say on this. Because they're so utterly selfish in their outgoings that they take a chance on these things. But we have, in the main, because we publicise this with various methods, we have curtailed a lot of this now, I think. Basically, people are beginning to understand, and of course, television has taught people a lot, hasn't it?
So do you have any sites of special... Is it designated a site of
special... Oh, special... Oh, yes, absolutely. And some of the birds we have are classified as rare or on Schedule 1. They are rare, becoming... In fact, there's a particular species where there used to be 1,150 pairs in the whole of Britain. I should think there's less than half of that now. In fact, as a species I had up here, there are reasons for this, that I had up to 140 pairs, and I've now only last year had 3 or 4 pairs because of predation, which at the moment, the local hierarchy, you know, the administrators of the area have decided they don't want these predators put down, and they've driven these other birds out, these rare species out. But they're going to have to think, and they've agreed this year to do a study, and if it comes up, well, we'll then remove the predators again. But they've had 2 years of not removing them, and they've caused the reduction by 50% in two other species. And that's crazy in my book. But that's the way the new, where there are new administrators for the area, and they have ideas, fine. But if the, I've proved that their ideas need readjusting. But I'm waiting now. If someone, I have said to them, if you want to employ someone who knows all about this, there are plenty of people who know as much as I do, go and employ them. They can't employ me because of my age. But at the same time, they've been lucky to have a low-paid servant for a number of years, haven't they, really? But I've said to them, why don't you employ someone? You're employed. Employ someone full-time there, needs all to look after it on-site with a boat and a mobile phone and everything there, and you will have a much better wardening process then. Have people to help. There's plenty of volunteers willing to help. But I hope that will come.
So what birds are classified as predators?